Good morning, prayer warriors. Hey, Mark here. Just praying for you all, just that you're going to have an amazing week and that we got to be looking forward. And I just pray that you had an amazing week and you're going to have an amazing week. And if not, hey, we just turn to prayer, we turn to God, and we turn to God's word like we're going to do today. And so let's just go ahead and open in prayer. And dear Lord, we just praise your name. We pray that you lift us up, because you are the only one who can save us from ourselves and from others. Just as we study today, let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. And all you prayer warriors out there, hey, appreciate everybody out there praying and reading God's Word, studying God's Word. It's amazing what it's going to do in our lives. Just for a couple of minutes a day, just for a few seconds, even while you're driving that car, if you're listening to country western or anything else, just turn it off for just a couple of minutes. Just have some quiet time with God. That's all it takes, just to lift us up. Just as we're going to be studying Elijah, you know, we took a look at Elijah last week, and he's one of my Old Testament favorites because there's so much applicable in his life to our lives. And if you take a look at 1 Kings chapter 17, we saw Elijah, you know, no family history, no, hey, you know, princely lines or anything like that. He's suddenly confronting Ahab, and Ahab is that king at the time of the northern kingdom living up there in Samaria, and he's got one foot in the I like God camp, but he's got the other one in his evil wife Jezebel's camp, and she has got all these prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth, and just it's crazy. And so he's got his feet in there, and Ahab turns to him and said, "Oh, king, there's going to be a great drought." And the king's going, "Whoa, dude." And so Ahab leaves, and he goes off, and he goes to a brook, and he's there for a while where God sent him. And God sends him to live with the widow and her dying son. And they were at their wit's end, and they were just gathering sticks to die. And God, speaking through Elijah, said, "No, you're going to continue to live." And the son eventually dies, and Elijah lays on the kid and cries out to God, and he prays three times to God. And that's the power of that prayer and that faith in God that he has in this really tough time of a drought, where the country is falling apart, where the country is leaving God. And the child wakes up, comes back to life as a result of that crying out and that strong prayer. And then we see Elijah going back, and he's going to confront Ahab again and says, "Hey, Ahab," and it's a funny thing, he sees him again, and Ahab, his great quote is, "That you, O troubler of Israel?" You know, it's just the funniest thing there in chapter 18, 17. So Ahab knows what's going on. In his heart, he knows what's going on, but his other foot's still in that other camp. And suddenly, you know, Elijah says, "Dude, like, wake up. And I'm going to prove to you that my God is stronger than all of these other false gods over here." And Elijah says, "You bring those 450 prophets of Baal and those 400 other prophets that gather around your wife for dinner. And we're going to go up on this mountain, and we're going to have a throwdown up there." And what happens is you see it there all through 18, and that in the end, all of the prophets are killed, and God wins. And one of the most powerful verses in chapter 18 is that Elijah's crying out to God, and he cries out as they're having this throwdown up there, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord." Oh, he's just crying out. "Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." And the people cried out then, says, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." So it's this huge prayer of thanks that Elijah is giving to God. You know, and they're on this mountaintop, and everybody is turning back to God because they've strayed. And it just takes a prayer to come back to God. And you're at the peak of this, you know, your job, your family, you've got newfound wealth in your family. But look what happens. We get a little bit weak in there because we start in verse 19 or chapter 19. And so Ahab, the king, tells his evil wife what's been going on. And then in verse 2 it says, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time.'" She's going to kill him. So here's this evil woman sends the messenger to Elijah, and suddenly he's from God, from this pinnacle of life, praising God and praying and giving thanks to God. And this evil person sends him this message that you're going to be dead tomorrow at this time. Well, so what happens to Elijah? Faint of heart, he steps away from God, and he flees, he runs, he takes off, he books out of, you know, he leaves Idaho or Oregon or wherever you're at, and he runs to the hills, and he's so afraid that he calls out there in verse 4, he said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." So here's this guy one day, just like we are, in this amazing job, and we're at the top of the heap, and within one day, we get a threat, and we let our own fears take over. We let our own anxiety take over. It may be a father, a mother, a relative, a friend, a boss at work who criticizes us, and we go from doing really well to we're down and suddenly in this valley. And Elijah's calling out, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life." Remember just two chapters ago that there was a widow and a son. They were on the verge of death as a result of the drought. And now Elijah's in that same place. And what does he do? He flees. He runs away. He hides. And he calls out to God, "Take my life. I just want to die." A lot of us have been in that position. And I just want to pray and say, you know, what we're going to see in the next couple of verses, that he cries out to God. And he still is talking to God. He is still praying with God. He has that little bit of hope in there. He has that little bit of faith. Just as we can, we need to be in that same place. When we go from that mountaintop and we're suddenly, within a day, we lose a job, we're laid off. Our wife says, "I'm leaving you." The husband says, "I no longer want to be married to you." We find a son who has left us, and he's gone out just to party and do drugs. We've had a loved one die. Those are hurts. Those are hurts that only God can really take care of. And so I would just encourage you, just as we're going to see Elijah in here, come to God. Pour out your heart wherever you are. Even at this minute, we have hurts. We have sorrows. We have pain. And just for the next couple of minutes, when we conclude this, just turn to God. Say, "God, help me." Three simple words: God, help me. God, forgive me. And that's all we have to do. So I just pray, prayer warriors, that you come to God today. Let's draw a little bit closer. If you need prayer, if you need help, give us a call here at Lighthouse. You can see us after church services. You can call us at any time. We're there to pray with you. Thank you so much, prayer warriors, and we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.